Turn in your Bible to Matthew 13 and follow along as I read the second parable spoken by the Lord Jesus to the multitude on the shore as he sat in a boat in the sea. I begin at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather my wheat into my barn. This is the second of the seven parables spoken by the Lord Jesus, as he unfolds the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We noticed last week in our previous message that the kingdom of heaven is a term used in Matthew alone, and it is that which presents the thought of the present form of the kingdom of God on earth, with a king rejected by Israel and now absent, and in heaven at the Father's right hand, and with the affairs of the kingdom left in the hands of failing men. The kingdom of heaven has become the sphere of Christian profession here on earth. This includes all who name the name of Christ, both saved and those not saved. We saw in the first parable that of the four kinds of hearers in the kingdom, only one, the good ground hearer, pictures the real, true Christian in the kingdom. It was man's response to the good seed sown that determined the results. Though professing to be Christian, perhaps by being baptized or by accepting a creed and joining a religious body or claiming to be living in a so-called Christian nation, as alas, is the false concept many have of what Bible Christianity is, yet they have not received the good seed into repentant hearts. They are not good ground hearers. They are hearers that have not accepted the good seed of the Word of God and do not possess eternal life. Now, in the second parable of the tares, the Lord presents the kingdom of heaven as a mixture of the product of the good seed, the wheat, and a product of tares, a poisonous rye that somewhat resembled the wheat in outward appearance, but was black and bitter. The Son of Man is the sower, and the good seed is the Word of God, as in the first parable. But here another seed is sown which is not good, and the sower is an enemy. What he sows is not wheat, though it may seem to be. In the Lord's interpretation of the parable, the enemy is clearly identified as the devil. And just as the good seed produces children of the kingdom, just so the tares sown by Satan produces the children of the wicked one. That's verse 38. The tares sown by the devil are the corruptions of the truth. It is Satan's imitation of the truth which is poisonous error and can produce nothing but the children of the devil, the product of false teaching. The book of Acts reveals to us how so very early in the church's history Satan began his operation of introducing the children of the wicked one amongst the true children of the kingdom. It is true that Peter was given discernment to detect and expose Simon Magus in Acts 8:21, and yet, soon after this, godly care and watchfulness, to which Paul had exhorted the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verses 29 and 31, disappeared. And evil men crept in unawares, just as the Lord foretold in this parable of the tares. In Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, one of the earliest of his writings, he tells them that the mystery of iniquity was already at work, chapter 2 and verse 7. And though it might be hindered, yet it would never cease until the wicked one, the Antichrist, energized by Satan, should be destroyed at the appearing of Christ. That's verse 8. This mystery of iniquity is akin to the sowing of the tares. When Christianity began to make rapid strides in the earth, then appeared the tares also. You see, no matter what the work of God is, as another has said, Satan is always close upon its heels. And Satan, who is the enemy of Christ, knows that imitation to deceive is a more successful tool for his purposes than persecution. The Apostle John wrote in A.D. 90, "Even now are there many antichrists." That is, those who, though professedly Christian by name only, deny that Jesus Christ is God the Son. This is satanic poison. It is the spirit of error. And the millions who receive this seed become the children of Satan. Then, too, the error of Judaism, legalism, and ceremonialism were introduced into the pure grace of God proclaimed in the gospel. The Apostle Paul had to meet this time and again as error, which he said destroyed the gospel. It was asserted that Christ died for our sins, but yet one had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. The enemy has not ceased to sow this soul-destroying seed today. It is not Christ and the law that saves, dear friend. It is not Christ and our works that saves. It is Christ and his finished work alone that saves. To add anything to the finished work of Christ on the cross is to dishonor that work and the workman by actually denying that Christ did it all when he said, "It is finished." My friend, salvation is by grace alone through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To add water baptism as a necessity for salvation is to add poison to the message. Think seriously of this. What message have you received? What do you base your salvation upon? Is it the pure word of God made known in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is it the poisonous mixture of law and grace, which Paul says is not a gospel of good news at all? Maybe you are resting upon the fact that you have joined a so-called church. Will this save you? Never. Ceremonialism, ritualism, are outward forms that can be carried out without one bit of life in your soul. And the same could be said of one trusting his own morality, his good standing in the sight of his fellow men. My friend, it is the inside of the cup that needs cleansing to suit a holy God. One must be saved, born anew, and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Receive a new nature if he expects to enter the kingdom of God. Thus, you see, all that I have mentioned, and more besides, actually, because of some profession of Christ, are in the kingdom of heaven. But, alas, through the reception of the seed of false teaching concerning Christ and his work, they are children of the wicked one. How solemn this is, to say the least, and especially as we consider what Jesus has to say about their end. One of the servants in the parable came to the householder and wanted to know what should be done to the tares. Should they be gathered out of the field? But the owner of the field said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now it is imperative that we remember here it is of the kingdom the parable speaks and not of the church or the assembly. In fact, of the church we have not at all heard in Matthew. And we won't hear of it until chapter 16. To understand this parable, we must distinguish between the kingdom and the church. The kingdom is likened to a field, and Jesus tells us the field is the world. This is what the kingdom is, in its present sphere, the profession of Christianity in the world, or what we may call Christendom. The tares, you see, are not for the present to be taken out of the world. That will be the work of the reapers, that is, the angels, as we see in verse 39, at the end of the age, at the coming of the Son of Man to this earth, in judgment. But though this is the truth of the passage, we cannot apply this to allowing tares in the church, as is a common erroneous deduction by a large mass of Christians today. This parable has nothing whatsoever to do with the question of church communion. It is the kingdom of heaven that is spoken of here, the scene of profession of Christ, whether true or false, including Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Protestant, or whatever takes the name of Christ. Some may be immoral or heretical, yet they are not put out of the kingdom of heaven now. They are to be left in the kingdom of heaven in the world until the time of harvest, that is, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth in judgment. But now, would it be right to receive such at the Lord's table? God forbid. The church, the body of Christ, and the kingdom of heaven are two different things. We are not responsible nor able to put one out of the kingdom of heaven. We are, however, responsible as the assembly, the body of Christ on earth, to guard the holiness of the Lord's table and not to allow even a true Christian living in sin into the fellowship or communion of the church. Scriptural instruction is given in those passages that present to us the revelation of God concerning His order and discipline in the church, that which embraces those who are members of the body of Christ. I quote what another has written about this. Take 1 Corinthians, where the Holy Ghost gives us the order of God's house and its discipline. Supposing some there are guilty of unrepented sin, such persons are not to be owned while they're going on in that sin. A real saint might fall into sin, but the church, knowing it, is bound to intervene to express God's judgment about the sin. Were they to deliberately allow such an one to come to the Lord's table, they would, in effect, make the Lord a party to that sin. The question is not whether the person is converted or not. If unconverted, men have no business in the church at all. If converted, sin is not to be winked at. The guilty are not put out of the kingdom of heaven, but they are to be put out of the fellowship of the church or the assembly. 1 Corinthians 5 says, "Put away from among yourselves that wicked person." You see, the church is responsible to judge, as 1 Corinthians 5:12 asserts, responsible to judge them that are within the realm of the professing church. Now, we have already mentioned that the tares remain in the kingdom of heaven in the field until the appearing of the Son of Man to this earth in judgment, when He will send His reapers, the angels, to, and I quote, "gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and do iniquity," end of quote. But before this, what is going on, even this present day? There is, according to verse 30, a binding of the tares together in bundles to be burned. Could it not be that this is what we are seeing today in the mushrooming of various movements bearing the name of Christ, but doing violence to the teaching of the pure seed of God's Word? Nothing is of God, my friend, that does not conform to His holy, infallible, inerrant Word. The Spirit of God never leads contrary to that Word. Imitation there is, and we know who has the power of imitating the true: Satan himself, the liar, the deceiver. Even in the days of Moses, Jannes and Jambres duplicated some of the miracles God wrought through Moses. Be not deceived by appearances, by emotional or intellectual attractions. Prove all things by the Word, and hold fast that which is good. If they speak not according to the Word, it is because there is no light in them. Yes, God is going to deal in judgment with a spurious Christendom at the appearing of Christ, and their end is certain. Jesus says, and I quote, "They shall be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." There is to be no annihilation of the person, dear friend. Fire is a symbol of intense judgment that is righteous and thorough. The lost soul in eternity will wail his fate, but alas, he will still gnash his teeth in hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, that he rejected in time. But what about the wheat? Is it not beautifully suggested in the parable? That which is the true hope of the true Christian today? It is. "Gather the wheat into my barn," says Jesus. Before the judgment falls upon the ungodly, before the Son of Man comes in judgment, he will gather his wheat into his barn. In John 14, 1-3, Jesus promised his true disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And where is he now? He's in the Father's house. And yes, we look for the Savior to come from the Father's house. He will come to the air with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That, my dear friend, is the hope of the true children of the seed of the Word of God, the wheat, the product of God's amazing grace. We shall be taken out of the world before the judgments of Revelation 6-19 set in, and which will conclude with the return of Christ himself with his saints to judge the world, the tares, removing all things and people out of his kingdom that offend. And then the kingdom of heaven will give place to the kingdom of the Son of Man, set up by him in power and glory on earth. "Then shall the righteous," that is the wheat, says Jesus, "shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father," that'll be in heaven, "in a reign with Christ over the millennial earth, a reign of righteousness and peace." "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," says Jesus. My friend, you have the pure seed of the Word of God before you. Read it. Believe it. Refuse the imitation of error. Receive the Word into your heart, and become, through repentance and faith in Christ, a true child in the kingdom, with your eternal destiny assured in the Father's house. May God bless his word.